on that day, the source of light will no longer shine. What's going to happen to the sun? So what if it goes out? Okay, so big deal. So it's going to be pitch black, right? Well, let's see what's going to happen. When that source of light, the sun, it goes out, let's see what 7 and 8 says. Yet there will be continuous day. Uh-oh, this throws a... something here. A curveball or throws a monkey wrench into the gears or whatever you want to say, because this ain't normal. I mean, our scientists are going to go mad, poor guys. You know, they ain't going to be able to understand this. I mean, the sun just went out, but yet it's a bright, beautiful day. Where's that light coming from? There will be continuous day. Only the Lord knows how this could happen. I mean, he knows everything, doesn't he, Tom? We don't have to sweat nothing. He's going to take care of us. I mean, I think about how I used to sit down and eat and drink and never say thank you, Jesus, for nothing. And, of course, over the years, I've learned to praise him and thank him in all things. I mean, I cannot sit down to eat or anything without thinking, oh, God, how awesome you are. I mean, this beautiful food that you put in front of me. I mean, this beautiful glass of iced tea or whatever it is. You made that and you made my taste buds so I can taste it, you know, and everything. And Lord, I want to give you praise and glory for this. I just can't. I stand in awe of what he does for us and how he gives us, if we'll walk in obedience to his word and do what he says. He even promised to renew our youth like the eagles. So technically speaking, we can stay young a whole lot longer than normal. You know, I mean, the average young person today, especially those that don't know Jesus, by the time they get 50, they're old. Oh, you can just listen to them, can't you, Tom? Oh, gosh, I'm getting so old. That's just like that young girl here a while back that told me, said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me, a husband. I'm just going to be a widow. An old maid, she said, an old maid. She'd never been married. I said, honey, how old are you? Oh, I can't tell you. I'm too old. But I sure would like to have a husband before I get really too old. I said, honey, you look like a beautiful young lady to me. You don't look old at all. I said, tell me how old you are. No. I said, well, I ain't going to pray for you then. Okay, she said, if you promise never to tell anybody how old I am. I said, I promise never to use your name and tell how old you are. She said, I'm 32. Oh. 32, and she thinks she's an old maid. Don't you feel sorry for that girl? 32 years old. She ain't even started good yet, is she? No. I mean, 32, my goodness, she's got lots of good years ahead of her. It says, there will be no normal day and night, for at evening time there will still be light. On that day, life-giving waters will flow out from Jerusalem, half toward the Dead Sea and half toward the Mediterranean, flowing continuously both in summer and in winter. Where's the water coming from? Ain't no water over there. Where's a big stream of water like that going to come from? You know, I used to think about when I'd read the story of the Exodus, and I never dreamed there was 3 or 4 or 5 million people on the Exodus. I thought about the movie, you know, we saw that, the Ten Commandments, you know, where there was about, 5,000 people in that movie, maybe 3 to 5,000. That's what I thought about, but I never looked at it like the scriptures, not 3 to 5,000, but 3 to 5 million. And then that 3 to 5 million people had somewhere in the neighborhood of their livestock, their chickens, their goats, their sheep, about 10 million animals following along with them. Now, this is beginning to get to be a pretty big thing, isn't it? Now, there's about 4 million people in the Metroplex, Dallas, Fort Worth, Irving, Arlington. Six. Oh, 6 now? Okay, so about 6 now. Okay, so the whole Metroplex has got about 6 million. You know, when you get up in that number, it's not that big a deal. So tomorrow, God's going to come to you and say, you know, I've got a job for you. Oh, Tom, I want you to lead all the people out of the Metroplex toward Oklahoma City up 35 tomorrow. That's your job.
I ain't got enough hair.
Now you understand what Moses felt like when he, Moses knew how big this job was. Lord, I can't do this. I can't talk clear. You know, so when you look at this, you got to remember, hey, how would you respond if God come to you tomorrow and says, I want you just to go to your little city, wherever you live. Say there's only 20,000 people in your little suburb, or maybe 50,000, whatever. And he says, I only want you to lead that little group out. That's all you got to do is just get them together and lead them out down the highway. I've already made a highway, Oklahoma City. 35 is a great big nice road, so you don't have to walk through the desert or the jungles. So and there's all kinds of little stations and stuff all along the way so you can get water and everything. But what if you were in the desert? I used to think about this when he'd say, Moses, speak to the rock or hit the rock or whichever way it was at certain times, and water's going to come out. I used to look at it like this. Moses would be up there and he'd tap on the rock and a little hole would open up about that big and little 2-inch stream water come running out. How long do you think it would take to water 4 million people and 10 million head of animals with a stream of water that's flowing a 2 or 3-inch stream? Now, you don't think that's going to happen, huh? But what if he opened up a hole there that's 10 or 20 or 30 feet in diameter and a huge fountain of water comes out flowing through the desert and it flows and it washes out a river it goes through. And so where the people can just walk in on both sides and get a drink. You ever stop to think about the magnificence of watering all those people and animals? I mean, you know, we really don't think about that. Yeah. Isn't that something? And they got to eat and drink every day, right, Bo?
Every day.
Every day. You know, I mean, you think of the magnificence of the job. You think to feed the Metroplex, all the grocery stores, everywhere where they supply food, where you go every day and go into the store, and you have no idea that when you go in the store and you get your little baggage stuff, you have no idea that there's who knows how many hundred or thousand other people that go through that same store that same day. And that's why when you go into a Walmart after midnight, there is carts and stuff and pallets of stuff all over the place, and there's an army of young men and women there putting stuff on the shelves for tomorrow. You think, wow, now that's only one store. Only one. You know, and every day they have to do that. I mean, stop and think of the magnitude of this. Now then, what if one day when the king comes back, we have this battle that we're talking about here, and what if there was a battle? What if it happened in the United States? And what if all of a sudden the gas system, the gasoline system don't work, the diesel system don't work, the trucks don't run? I wonder how long is there going to be food in those stores? A matter of days. They'll be cleaned out to the shelves, to the walls. There won't be nothing left. Now who are we going to depend on? We're going to depend on the same one Israel's going to depend on right here. Let's look and see what's happening here. On that day, life-giving waters will flow out from Jerusalem, half toward the Dead Sea and half toward the Mediterranean, flowing continuously both in summer and winter. So the people are not going to have to be concerned about getting fresh drinking water. And I can assure you, this is not going to be a little bitty 2-inch pump that's pumping water out onto the desert sand. This thing is going to be one big giant stream of water that's coming out and dividing, going into the Mediterranean and into the Dead Sea. And it's going to make the Dead Sea a freshwater lake, and it'll support life in the end times. Right now, nothing lives in the Dead Sea. It's so salty. Now, I've never been to the Dead Sea, but I've talked to many people I have. You know, you go to the Dead Sea right now, it's so salty, you can put your swimsuit on, go out there and lay down, and you can't sink. You will not go down. Has anybody here ever been to the Dead Sea? Oh, okay, we have got a couple, okay. When you go there, if you go in the water, you cannot sink, can you? It'll support you. There's so much salt in the water. You don't want to drink it. It's really salty. On that day, life-giving water will flow out from Jerusalem. Okay, verse 9 and 10. And the Lord will be king over all. all the earth. When he comes back, he's going to be in charge, isn't he? On that day, there will be one Lord. Well, let me ask you this question. How many lords is there really now?
One.
That's right. There's only one. And his name is Jesus. So I don't care if George Bush, Obama, Clinton, or anybody else tells you that they serve Allah and we serve Jesus, but we're all serving the same God. Don't believe them guys because they ain't figured out the truth yet. Allah, their God, is not our God. Our God's name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of Kings, the Creator God, and he made Allah, which is the devil. He made him. You know, and just like some of the other churches, you know, it's just like when I was up there with the Lutheran church that time when I got to do that awesome miracle with Dr. Gary Young, the guy that fell out of the tree 35 feet up in the air and crushed his back. I prayed for him over the telephone and God gave that man a brand new back over the telephone. And so he flew Cheryl and I up to his home in Salt Lake City. We spent 3 days up there with him. And when I sat and talked to them and said, you know, there's something I want to tell y'all about your Jesus. In y'all's book, your book says that Jesus and Lucifer were brothers. I said, but I'm going to tell you, that's not true. I said, Jesus, my God, he made Lucifer. He was never his brother. I said, then there's another great area y'all are wrong in. And y'all say that God the Father was a man first, and then he became good enough to become God, and then he became the Spirit God the Father. I said, that's wrong. That's a lie. God the Father has never been a man. He's been a spirit forever. He'll forever be a spirit. And he's always been holy and perfect. And he never became a man and became God. And some of them had an awesome problem with me. And I said, let me ask y'all a question. I said, here all of you know this man sitting right here, Dr. Gary Young. You know him. He goes to church with y'all. You all know he had a crushed back and he was laying in bed from Tuesday till Sunday and he had a crushed back that could not be fixed. I said, he called me on Sunday night. I prayed the prayer of faith for him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the king that I prayed to gave this man a brand new total instant renewal and made his back brand new. I said, now when's the last time y'all saw a miracle like this in your Mormon church?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, The Day of the Lord is Coming, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.